Are you going to show your personal life in a Facebook timeline in the future? Can we soon look at baby photos from David Galante on Facebook live stream?
Well, absolutely not. When we were first developing live stream software in the 1990s, in the mid-1990s, one of the very first things we introduced is a public-private switch. Crucial for us that anything you put into a live stream, you be able to mark either public or private. There are some things that you want to make publicly available. Indeed, that's the whole point. Yeah, if you're conducting a blog and you are publishing your opinions or something, or some related kind of public announcement or photos that you are willing for everybody to see, then by all means you switch them on public. But when I look at somebody else's live stream, I don't see everything that has happened to him, everything in his electronic diary, because most of those things I would hope and expect he would keep private.
So, but you already mentioned that you are one of the persons who is talking already for a while about displacing the user interface internet by live streams. Would you at least say this is a step towards the future of an internet which is easier to use, even if you maybe not will are going to use the Facebook timeline personally?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think this is another significant piece of forward motion, as we've seen in other live stream like constructs on Facebook, the Facebook wall, for example, in activity streams all over the industry, perhaps most significant in the huge success of Twitter, and in many other ways. I think we're seeing the industry increasingly acknowledge that live streams are the interface that will be most convenient for most uses in the future, and is already moving in that direction. And there are so many examples out there that before long people will start talking about simplifying the underlying idea as opposed to 10 different examples in 10 different types of software.
This new live stream thing, how would it change the stories we tell each other? How can it change the tradition of the oral history, perhaps?
It can change the tradition of the oral history, I suppose, first of all, in changing what we know about ourselves. The tradition of a diary or a journal kept on paper was never terribly widespread, but it's fair to say probably only almost completely dead in the last generation. And I think by and large, it's become easier and easier for various reasons, for people not to have a very good understanding of their own lives, not to have a very clear sequential recollection of the things they did, the people they met, the places they went, and so forth. And so, first of all, my live stream is going to remind me what my life has been like, what my plans were. And oral history needs a basis of fact to build on. That's a difficulty of oral history, of course, that it's often based on an insubstantial foundation. So first of all, I think there's value in our being able to remind ourselves of what happened to us, and then our immediate families, our children as they're growing up and who may eventually inherit our live streams. And only then we start thinking in larger terms of the oral history of a community. And in fact, history in many terms. Live streams, which are in a sense being demanded by the user, are in a certain sense an antidote to the web's tendency to suppress every moment but right now. The web is an environment in which the past tends to disappear, and I allow myself to be overwhelmed by the present. The web has not been good for understanding history, and I think for encouraging the knowledge of history, and I think live streams are a step towards correcting the balance.
So you say that now the people can use the internet to remind themselves of their past and to make up kind of a diary, but what would you say is the main aim of people using the internet? What are they looking for right now? So for information, for other questions, for new stories, or just for a tool to remind themselves of the past and to organize their private life?
Well, Just a note on the use of the Facebook life timeline profiles, which you mentioned. When I think of a live stream or a diary or a narrative history, I don't want it merely to be a record of events. I don't think Facebook takes us very far. I want to include the actual electronic objects, the actual email, the photos, the scans of external documents, and all sorts of things that constitute documentation of the history, of my history. But when you say, what do people want from the web, I think increasingly they want to kill time. I don't think they want anything from the web. I've observed many people in the United States, and I don't know if it's quite the same in Europe. I've observed many people, younger people more often, but including some older people too, reach automatically, really automatically, without thinking, for their phones or their pods or their pads or their laptops. When their attention is not engaged elsewhere, you know, when they have a free 5 seconds that would be boring without something to do. You know, I think increasingly people are not satisfied with their own company. They don't like the idea of watching the world go by or thinking or reading. And so, but that's also a reflection of the superficiality of the web and of electronics today. They are concentration-suppressing machines that make it difficult to concentrate on anything, that tend to chop up your concentration span to make it hard to think. I mean, that was true of the web from the very beginning, when an old-fashioned website, the sort of thing which I think is being replaced by live streams, an old-fashioned website has a bunch of links, a bunch of colorful stories and photos and links, and urges you the instant you get bored to press a link and move on to something else. And we've seen that tendency underlined by the explosion of text messages in popularity and instant messaging and other kinds of real-time information exchange, so that you see people being interrupted by alarms, particularly if they are part of digitally active social networks. You see and hear their devices and their ringers go off all the time, and past a certain frequency, well, you can turn it off, or you can just say, forget it. Whatever else I'm doing is less interesting than answering texts from the 30 friends who are all sending me texts, something like this. So I think fun, entertainment, an antidote to boredom, an amusement park or a carnival or a fair, in which in any direction you look, there is superficial entertainment and color and movement, anything to take your mind off yourself and off of anything serious. That's what I think people want from the web, as a reflection of what the web is offering. It's a deal. It's an agreed-to deal in which the public may be Faust, but after all, the web is Mephistopheles, and an arrangement has been made. But I think things will change. I don't think people inherently want to be superficial or want to dedicate themselves to killing time or wasting time or not thinking. I don't think that's what people want, but we're lazy. And if it's easy to do, if it's easier to kill time than to think, we will avoid thinking.
David Galanta, we have talked about the impact of this new live stream concept for the cultural memory. We have talked about the aims from the users. But what do you think, this being present with your whole life, every time and anywhere, is this the future of the internet? Is this perhaps kind of a new social norm to be 24/7 there? In a digital way? Can this become a new social norm?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Many people do think. I think it will be a new social norm to assume that your life is online, that your life story is online for your own use. And it's important for people to be able to remember what they've been doing or when they met a certain person or who a certain person was, or what they plan to do. There are all sorts of things that there are all sorts of reasons why a person wants to know his own history in a comprehensive way, in a single way. and wants to be able to, in many cases, share the history or parts of the history with his family and with his friends, meaning real friends, not Facebook friends, meaning some fairly well-defined set of friends. But there's an entirely different issue of social norm of the suppression of privacy, the deliberate stripping off of privacy by young people who are given the web and who have used it as an anti-privacy tool on purpose in a sort of deliberate theater of the absurd. But I don't think that trend preceded the web. I think you already saw that trend at much earlier time, at least one generation ago or two generations ago, perhaps going all the way back to the post-war years of the 1950s and the early 1960s, when what we called etiquette, I mean, to use the American term etiquette, formal behavior, formal ways of addressing other people, ideas of correct relations between parents and their elders, parents and children, children and their elders, children and their teachers, men and women. The point of those formal rules was to protect privacy. When everybody acts in a formal way, when everybody follows the rules, then nobody is behaving improvisationally. Nobody reveals anything by his behavior if he's merely following the rules. But if there are no rules to follow, if you make up your own rules whenever when you meet a teacher or a group of friends get together, or you ask a girl out on a date, or you invite people over for a party, if you always make up your own rules, you're always revealing yourself. You're rejecting formal behavior that protected privacy. And I think this is a decision that not so much today's generation of young web users made as a decision their parents and even their grandparents made, which is latent in the cultural atmosphere. And the web makes everything latent either better or worse. I mean, if it's a good thing, it makes it better. And if it's a bad thing, it makes it worse. And of course, some people believe in the suppression of privacy. That was certainly the belief of idealistic communism, Marxism, at a certain point, and communalism. Most people hate the idea, and it's hard to explain their behavior, except as in any case, yes, I think this is a trend, and I think the web has accelerated the suppression of privacy, and if live streams are abused, they certainly can accelerate the suppression of privacy also. That is, live streams, if they're well, correctly implemented, whatever you add to it has a switch to control the visibility of each thing. So I always decide, is this private or is this public? But that doesn't mean, that doesn't stop somebody from declaring his entire life public. And I think there will be people who will do that and who will essentially be living their entire lives outdoors, essentially, and for everybody to see. And that is certainly, what should one say, an interesting trend, certainly a disturbing trend.
But you say it is a trend, but if you read the newspapers and look at the internet, you have all these scaring headlines like this is really dangerous with all the presence of your private data in the internet and everything. So what would you say, where's the direction of this trend? So what is the future, or what would you see as the future? If this is a trend, so what will happen next?
I think people are much less upset than they say they are about companies getting private information. I think they feel, when they are asked, they feel obliged to protest. But if you look back at the early years of the web, in the 1994, 95, 96, that range, when we started seeing the phenomenon of the webcam and people broadcasting all sorts of aspects of their lives, in some cases their entire lives, lived before the web camera, and we look at, insofar as we know, the contents of social networks today and how intimate are the details that people are willing to share with other people. In the United States, there is a big trend in television called reality TV, in which I think this originated in Japan, in which people will go on TV and make the most appallingly intimate revelations. I mean, what this stuff is extreme. It's somewhat revolting, certainly in bad taste, but certainly part of a trend to tell everybody everything about your life. So now we have a scandal about all the information Google is accumulating, about information Facebook was accumulating, even while denying that it was accumulating it. And of course, we know perfectly well that satellites of all sorts, of which Earth orbit is full of satellites taking pictures, detailed pictures of what we do outside, at least all the time. And we see again, especially in Europe, the installation of cameras to monitor streets and so forth. Anyway, when people complain, I don't entirely believe them. I don't think I think it is a socially correct thing to complain about, but it does not ring true.